Why squander your heritage when you have eternal life in an eternal spiritual body? Why make the mistake of flaunting some human capacities in a material body? Now the Spirit is saying there's nobody to impress if you're living in your spiritual kingdom. The inhabitant of that spiritual kingdom is the Son of God, one with the Father. There's no one else there. Mortality is not. And the vanity or ego that would wish to show mortality how much I know or how blessed I am by the Father is nothing but carnal mind in disguise, making a foolish mortal out of one who does not know he is the immortal self. Again, get thee behind me, Satan. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, these angels, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Ah, now a bigger point. It dawns. How can a Christ body jump from the top of a roof, a parapet? Only a human body could do that, right? And so, in this great desire to show how endowed I am, I, this human body, leap. I leap to my own death. The moment I become a human body, there's nobody to catch me. And if I leaped a million times in an invisible body, who would see it? So you're tricked into this human body. You're tricked into, all of a sudden, accepting a human body when you are the infinite spiritual body. And now, in a human body, the reason you're leaping to be caught is because you are separated from the God who is going to catch you. You're separated from that angel who's going to catch you. Now you're accepting separation. And you're accepting external space to leap in. It all becomes so clear that the moment you accept one lie, the lies multiply. There is no separation between God and man, who is spirit. How can I leap? Whom shall I prove this to when all there is divinity? You begin to get many, many points that are expressed here, all very tricky, all rather sneaky. And that's how this tempter comes. It's crawling on its little serpent belly. And it looks up to you and it says there's good and there's evil. Why don't you have a little of both? Try it out and see what it's like. But there's neither good nor evil. Why callst thou me good? Is there someone bad somewhere? Everything is perfect. And so the imperfection again, the implication that someone is doing something wrong. Oh, we can say they're taking bribes, but we have to correct ourselves within while we're saying it. Who's taking the bribe? That's what you're seeing. Yes, I know. That's what I read in the paper. Yes. I'm living in the kingdom of God in the spiritual universe, and I am not going to indulge in this gossip that pulls me back into the world that I have renounced. I'm going to walk through this world. I'm going to walk through the unreality knowing the reality. Now that is the real wilderness experience. To walk in your reality through the unreality, unresponding to the unreality, knowing the reality is there. That's our 40 days. Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. There'll be more temptations. There will always be temptations. The only time there will be no temptations is when you have actually made your transition into the fifth world. We have five more principles in our 40 days in the wilderness. Some of them based upon the three temptations. The first one, My kingdom is spirit. I know there are so many who do not realize my kingdom is spirit. The world is cluttered with millions and millions and millions of individuals unaware that they have a spiritual kingdom. We forget ourselves. This is a permanent fact. My kingdom is spirit. Now, when you get up and you run to catch that 8:10 commuter train, and you've got this 9:10 appointment, and you're thinking, what did I forget to take with me? Is my necktie straight? You're not thinking my kingdom is spirit. But if you have been living that way, it won't be just that particular morning. And somehow, a different way of life comes upon you. The right things are in the briefcase the night before. There's plenty of time to do everything just right. The frenzy, the frantic pace, all this becomes a peaceful, effortless continuity of divine rhythm. So you start your day with My kingdom is spirit. You give it time to percolate in the back burner of your consciousness. When you leave that house, My kingdom is spirit is uppermost. Your chest is out, you're strong, you're fearless, you're confident. My kingdom is spirit. And everywhere I go, my spirit is, and my kingdom is. Whoever walks in my consciousness today is walking in my kingdom of spirit, under the law of my kingdom of spirit, under the harmony of my kingdom of spirit. I'm not looking at their visible. I know the invisible of them. It is my kingdom of spirit. Am I worried about my children taking the bus this morning? Well, why not put them first in your kingdom of spirit and then let this bus go? Whatever concerns you have are because you are not aware that you have a kingdom of spirit right where the world seems to be. The invisible kingdom of spirit is not of this world, but it is right where this world seems to be, and it is my kingdom. I use the word my to mean your kingdom. Your kingdom, my kingdom, one kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. It is the kingdom of spirit, invisible to human sense. It is the kingdom of my Father. It is my only kingdom. And I am the king of it because I am the Son of God. And I am the Son of God. Everywhere there is a human flesh, a physical mountain, a physical sky. Wherever there's a bird, an insect, or a fish, my invisible kingdom of spirit is, and I inhabit all of it. That's your first day, number 36. This day, the tempter will certainly try to make you realize that there's a world out there. And yet you better do something about it. And so you might be offered some temptation to accept some promotion in this world, not in your kingdom, which does not quite fit in with the divine rhythm of the Father. And you'll recognize the difference. When they come to you from the Father, they have that ring. Ah, this is from the Father. That is from the tempter. There is a spiritual ring about that which comes from spirit. And it looks just the same as that which comes from the tempter. They almost look like twins. This position or that position. Which is the tempter, which is the Father? Your soul knows. Because your soul sent the one who is from the Father. A mental decision might be right, might be wrong. A soul decision is never wrong. And you cannot make a soul decision if you're living in a mind. Or if you live in a soul every now and then. Soul consciousness recognizes the invisible hand of the Father in all things. Mine hour has come. 3 years, mine hour has not come. All of a sudden, mine hour has come. What told him that? How did he know? Have ye that mind that was in Christ Jesus? It functions through your soul. It knows when your hour has come. First day, my kingdom is spirit. And there's not one speck of matter in my kingdom. My kingdom is real. There's no mortal dream in my kingdom. My kingdom is of the Father, not of the world. The world will try to offer me this, that, and the other. And on the second day, my first principle will be, I already have the kingdom of God. I'm not hoping today for that big break or for that new development. What's hoping for that big break, that new development? This little mortal mind out here. I already have the total kingdom of God. Already have. To him who has, all will be given. If you have the kingdom of God, there's nothing missing. It's all there. Everything that will ever be needed unto eternity. And if you don't have it, you're in trouble. You'll forever be picking up little suggestions from the world mind about your lacks and your limitations. It'll be saying you can change the stones to bread. Use your spiritual power. Now, I already have the kingdom of God and all it contains. It will manifest. I don't have to tell it what to do. It will manifest. If it wants a better position to appear in my life, it will. If it wants a change, it will make the change. I trust my Father. I'm not going out into mortal manipulation or mortal decisions. I trust my Father. I have the kingdom. It is the kingdom of God, who is my Father, my source, my being. I trust my being. I trust my source. I trust my Father. I rest in that trust with total confidence, and therefore I'm not peeking around the corners to see when and how much. I rest in the Father's bosom. Peace, be still. It is I who know all your needs. Can the Father forget the Son? Are you the Son? The light begins to shine within. You feel a oneness with divine intelligence, a great inner intuition. Well, this must go far beyond just material good. I was willing to use spirit just for temporary material good, or to mistrust spirit for a moment and try to get back there and influence it just a little. What about this, Father? I'm going to turn this problem over to you. I say that all the time, Father. I'm going to turn the problem over to you. Why? What problem? That was fine in our earlier days of learning truth. I'll turn the problem over to God. And now I can say to the world, I've turned it over to God. I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's God's problem, not mine. Now, that sounded great at one time. It was a very great piece of good advice, and good sense of freedom developed out of it. And in your new consciousness, you say, what problem? You see how we've stepped up to the point where the problem is a denial of who you are. Only the mortal has the problem. And so your way of turning it over to God is not saying, here, take care of this problem. But I have the kingdom of God in which there is no problem. Now that is a higher method, a higher technique for you, and one that works slightly better. Because it is true to God. There is no problem in the Father. The moment you have the habit of thinking I can turn problems over to God, you're going to find that some of those problems aren't handled. And it's because God doesn't handle problems. And so you take this iron and you iron out all the wrinkles in your consciousness. And one of them is that the mere existence of a problem is a statement that you have wandered back into mortality. And so when supply is dwindling, the answer isn't how do I find supply? The answer is how do I find that supply is already part of my divine being? That's the real solution. Supply is part of my divine being. I have strayed into an area called mortality where supply occasionally becomes a problem. I have slipped. I have fallen. I'm human again. And that isn't even who I am. There is no me. I am not me. I am I. I am heir to all the heavenly riches, and I have no supply problem. Unless God has a supply problem, I haven't. And I understand that God has infinite supply. And I'm in the pipeline. So your way to all limitations is to realize that limitations are mortal. I already have the kingdom of God, all of it. Second day. And then let the tempter come. Welcome him with open arms. He really doesn't exist, you know. He's a mirage. He's trying to convince you he exists. And here comes his first disguise, the second, the third. All in the mortal dream. And if you're not there in the mortal dream, no tempter can come to you. Third day. And this goes right along with supply, but in a larger sense than food or money. It has to do with the total fulfillment of every need, so that all needs are already fulfilled. In other words, with this principle, you can never say, I need this or I need that, and I'll find a way to fill that need. Instead, you come to the truth, and that's your third day, I am the bread of life. This is a very specific quote, but it is your third day because it will make you see that in your spiritual self, your only self, all needs are fulfilled in advance. Spirit cannot withhold or shortchange itself. The fullness of the Godhead is the eye of your being, your identity, I, is the bread, and that is the substance. My identity is the substance of every need, and you can never run out of I substance. And so, when you start your third day, if you have fallen into a belief that you have needs to be fulfilled, remember that all those needs already are fulfilled in the Spirit, and the fulfillment, which is already complete in the Spirit, will manifest in the visible as you remain in the knowledge that I am the bread of life. I am I, and that I that I am is the bread of life. That's your third day. I'm just waiting a moment for it to sink in when there comes that inner response saying, I feel it. I am the bread of life. I am. The eye of my being has already met every emergency that will ever appear in this world concerning my life. All emergencies have been met. All needs have been fulfilled. I am self-complete in God. I am the bread. I have the substance, which is my very being. I have the substance of all form, not just physical form, but all form. That mountain is made of the bread of my life. And that river is made of the bread of my life. And that earth that produces food, that is made of the bread of my life. That earth is the Lord's. That earth is the substance of my life. It's not earth. Oh, no, that's just what it appears to be. It is I, the substance, the bread of life. It is the invisible spirit that I am. Everywhere I look, the substance of my being is the only substance there. I am the bread of all life everywhere. I am the substance of all form. Do I need form if I have the substance? No, I rest in the substance, and omniscience automatically does the rest. Form without substance is valueless. You'll only have a shell. You'll have mental form instead of soul form. As I rest in the substance, the soul will produce the visible images. That's what the loaves and fishes were when multiplied. Soul images. Gold in a fish's mouth. Soul images. Fish in the net. Soul images. But why no fish over there? Well, they were using a mental net instead of a soul. I am the substance. I am the bread of life. I am the substance of these fishes that are heaped to overflowing in this net. That power flows through your substance without you doing anything about it other than living in the knowledge of it. That's your third day. I am the bread of life. I'd love to see you have experiences with that more often, because if you dwell there and things flow into your life that are necessary, they are the result of that living. It's not something you consciously take thought about, but suddenly this new wonder comes into your life, and you can take it right back to understand that, oh, my being, my I, is the substance, is the bread. And here's the form just come into my life, this new whatever. That's how it came there. I was living in my I, and the substance was activated, then soul imaged it into form. And all of the beautiful things that come as soul forms, powered by the soul itself and substantiated by the spirit flowing through your soul, these are enduring. These are real. These carry with them the stamp of divine power and divine harmony. They are ordained. They have your name and address on them. They come and they do their work, and they do it well. I am the bread of life. There's a great secret in there, and I know you understand it, and I know many of you are practicing it. If you just give it more conscious knowledge, more frequently, and you'll see some interesting results. Fourth day, I am never separated from all that God is. I'm never separated from God. I'm never separated, therefore, from all that God is. I wake up in the morning, and oh, how different to know I am never separated from all that God is. That's enough to make the sun shine even on a shady day. Especially because it's true. But do not think this human self is not separated from all that God is. Every time you hear that word I, put quotes around it. The I that I am is never separated from all that God is. If I'm not that I, consciously, I am separated from all that God is. This me has no pipeline. You see how you're constantly being forced to drop personal sense, mortal sense of life? The I that I am is never separated from all that God is. The mortal that I am is very separated. The I that I am can never be separated from life. The mortal can, because the mortal isn't even in it to begin with. Let the dead bury the dead. I have a better way. Live in the I that you are, for the I that you are can never be separated from all that God is. That's your fourth day. I suppose many of you can practice that in all different ways. Some of you will just think of it the night before so you wake up to it. Some of you will print it on a little card and put it by your pillow or your nightstand and wake up to it and reach out for the card and say, "Oh, how nice of the Father to send me this notice. I can never be separated from all that God is." You can even send yourself a letter every day if you feel like opening it in the mail. And I'm not joking. It's a great idea. You open the mail in the morning, and what could be nicer than learning that about yourself to... Of course, the mail may come late. Some of you may decide, I'll not only put it on a card by my nightstand, but I'm going to put it in my purse if I go anywhere. And, gee, if it's that good, why do I want to just do it early in the morning? How about making that the subject of my daily meditation? And how about just letting myself look at it on a card from time to time? Especially if something does go wrong, I pull that right out of my purse and look at it, weigh it against what's happening, and it's the truth, the other can't be. If the truth is the truth, then the lie must be a lie. Yes, I think it would be legitimate to put it on a card and take it with you and meditate on it from time to time until it's inscribed in your heart. 40 cards, 40 days in the wilderness. You might find other ways, maybe a lot better. You might make a tape recording of each principle and hear yourself say them when you hear them back. You might play it for yourself in the morning. First thing, push the button and hear yourself saying, "I am already one with all that God is." And hearing myself say it might have some effect. Whatever that can implant this and the rest of the day, you know, to live it out, to expand it, to find facets of it that are glorious and hidden, waiting to be discovered. I believe we have 39 truths. And if you're in doubt about any of them as being true, and you want to find where it is in the Bible, start checking it out in your Bible. Get into a little personal research program. I want to prove this is true in the Bible. So start doing it. Spend some time with it. When you're through trying to prove it's true, I guarantee you'll know that statement better than you knew it before you started. If I wanted to prove that last statement, and I spent a morning or an afternoon or a day trying to prove it, by the end of that day, I would have been thinking about that statement quite a bit. And I would also have all kinds of quotes from either the Christ Jesus or the prophets or someone somewhere. Or I could pick up one of Joel's books and try to find some backing in a book for some of these statements. You might be very surprised to find that he's almost said some of them verbatim, just the same way or just another way. But I believe that you could find any of these 39 statements and prove them from Joel's books if you knew where to look. I don't believe we have one that isn't a branch right out of something he taught. These are meant now to be proven, not to be just blindly accepted and memorized, but to be proven. The idea of the 40 days in the wilderness is to walk through the wilderness, to be tempted to disbelieve these truths, and to prove that they are true. Because each one of them is part of your permanent consciousness. I guess you see by now this is not a 40-day program. It starts out as a 40-day program. But there's nothing in here you won't be doing till the very day you make your transition. It's a lifetime program. Number 40. Thank you. You might need this more than any, so it's here. The 40th day you begin with, my body is infinite spirit. My body is infinite spirit. Is it true? Then you must live it if it's true. Your body is spirit and spirit is infinite. All of those physical problems are in the wrong body, aren't they? They're not in your body. They're in the false body you've accepted to be your body. I'm not saying you shouldn't take care of that image. I'm just saying it's not your body. It's your mental image. And so you have to repair your mental image. And one fine way to repair it is to know your real body. My body is infinite spirit. My soul is troubled. Shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I into the world, to demonstrate that the body of the Son of God is infinite spirit, not flesh. That demonstration was made, and so many others, to speak to you directly and say, your body is not physical form. Why not try living in your body instead of waiting for the Grim Reaper to take the old one away? Why don't you make the crossover to your body now? And when this one is taken away, you'll have one to live in. It's really that simple and that difficult. Move into your body. And then when you discard this one, there's no place to go. Start living in it. Get used to it. After this one is taken, it's too late. You got to start all over again. Get used to your body now. Infinite spirit. And so on your 40th day, the world says to you, this is a physical problem. And you say to the world, who said so? The medical profession, that's who. We have charts. You can see it with your own eyes on the chart. I wonder what God thinks about all this. What is my father seeing? Why did my father let that get on my chart? The answer is, my father didn't let it get on my chart. That's not my chart you have there. Oh, you thought this was my body. Yeah, you naturally would, because that's what you work with. And I can't really tell you, I live in a different body. I mean, I'm not going to go on a cross and get crucified just to prove that to you. That's been done. I live in a different body. That's what you live with. That's what you develop, that awareness. And you practice living in a different body. That's why we had a year of living outside the form. I am incorporeal being. I don't live in a physical body. I won't be living in one 30 years from now. I may as well get used to the idea right now. So you step over into the spiritual body that's been provided since before the world was. And you realize, I really never left the spiritual body. The only crossing over I have to do is to correct the untruth that I ever walked out into a physical form. What happened was, on this side of that cosmic filter, this cosmic mind interpreted my spiritual body into a physical image called physical body. And then it put a false consciousness into it called human ego, and it said to it, this is your body. And I was that false consciousness. And I said, oh, this is my body. That's, thank you, thank you. And all the time, I wasn't that ego or that body at all. That was a mortal construction of the world mind on this side of the filter, projecting something into time, which through inadvertence and through lack of spiritual awareness, I was quite young when they did that to me. And I accepted that baby, that me. And I grew up in that form they gave me. But in rebirth, as we learn that the substance of real form is a spirit, therefore I'm not that form. And now I look at all my friends and I see why some of them were friends once and some changed. Sure, how could they help themselves? They were just carnal mind forms who thought they were people. How strange they acted, and how ridiculous I often acted. Why? I didn't control this form. The carnal mind controlled it. We were robots in the flesh, in time, walking through the invisible kingdom of God, even walking right through our invisible body, not even knowing it was here. Graduation day finally comes. We're given a little diploma. The Father anoints us. Thou art my son. You're not this born of woman. Wake up. Wake up. Step out of this dream. And bit by bit, day by day, truth by truth, the dream slowly dissolves. You stand revealed as yourself, the Son of God living in the infinite kingdom of God, the infinite consciousness of God your own, the infinite life of God your own, the infinite body of God your own. And as you put your consciousness constantly above the illusions in time and make the conscious effort to live in eternity now, in the eternal day, where time is not, where soul has canceled out all the calendars and all the years and all the little measuring sticks. You live just consciously in the paradise, that is, in your real self. And there the Son of God is born in you. It doesn't come to everyone the same way. Some of the ways it comes are too astounding and but there are signs and signs and signs that the birth is taking place. I can't divulge what people have told me. I can't divulge the incredible experiences that come to so many. But they're recognizable to those individuals, and I'm identifying them as signs of a birth. like the little kicking of the unborn infant's foot. These are signs of a birth. And they become more frequent. The intervals between the signs become shortened. The signs become more pronounced. The more you live in yourself. You won't need an attendant or a midwife. Just living in yourself. And the divine labor pains bring great joy. Incredible joy. Breathless joy. You merge into all that surrounds you, and it all becomes you. All that is, I am. We're going to remain silent, if you don't mind.